Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Chaos Talk with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver. And tonight we're live with D&K Bible Break, live on this Monday evening. We just want to say happy Monday to everyone that's listening. All those that are on Blog Talk Radio, those that are on the phone lines, we just want to say good evening to you. And hopefully you had a blessed weekend and a great Monday to start your week off. It is me and my lovely wife, Miss Kay, that's on with me tonight. You there, Miss Kay?
I am here. Happy Monday.
All right. I just want to get a good mic check on you as I introduced you, and you're good. We want to say first and foremost, we want to give honor to the Lord who is the head of our lives, and thank him for waking us up in our right frame of mind and giving us the activities of our limb and just to be able to serve another day in his kingdom. Also, I want to say a special thanks out to all of my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Finish Line, Pizza Hut, Brentwood Publishing, Outback Steakhouse. We just want to say a special shout out to all those that sponsor us and those that are supporting us as well. Again, I'm going to spend another special shout out to my man Bruce from Pepsi, who is not only is he a fan, but he's the longest. He's been part of Chaos the longest since 2009 with Pepsi. And I just want to send him a special shout out for all he does for us and looking out for us. He didn't have to do it in any given moment. He could drop us as a sponsor, but he always hooks us up with whatever he do. He's just a good person to know. He's been good to Chaos, and I just want to say special thanks to him. Also to my wife, I want to give her props before we get started today. Yesterday was a monumental day for me as we was able to do the D&K Bible Break at Praise Tabernacle Church. Bishop Omar Zachary, the bishop, allowed us to do D&K Bible Break live for Sunday morning service. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was probably one of my proudest days to get up there with Kay, my wife, and do our show. It was more than that for me, because if you listened to it or you watched it, however you did it, you saw my wife, my lovely wife, go in on a lesson last night. I was proud of how she handled it and how she let the Lord use her. I was really proud. I'm going to share a story. I'm going to let her talk, and then we're going to get into the lesson, because it's very funny to me, because as she was preparing, she had 4 pages of notes, and we went over these notes.
And I broke it down to 4.
And we went over these notes frontwards and backwards, so I knew exactly where she was going the whole time. We had this setup, and one of the things she worked my nerve on, and I'm going to say this, is she kept saying she don't have nowhere to put her notes. And I said, well, okay, we'll get you a table. We'll get you a stand. The table's too short. I have to bend down. I don't want to bend down. I said, okay, we'll make a long story short. Even the bishop said, we got tables set up. I said, she don't want no tables. We're just going to go in the pulpit. She put her notes right there in the pulpit. They said, am I allowed in the pulpit? You check with the bishop to see if I'm allowed to go in the pulpit. I said, we're married. Where I go, you go. So you can go in the pulpit if you want to be in the pulpit. Not a big deal. So you can read the notes. And she gets up there. She did an excellent job. If you haven't seen it, I'm gonna tell you where you can see it at, but if you haven't seen it, she did an excellent job, and she let the Lord use her and guide her. As she's doing it, I'm going in the background. I'm going over it with her in her notes. She never made it past her first page of notes. Let me say that again. She didn't even make it off the first page of her notes because she just let the Lord use her. She had them. So all that buying, trying to get a table and almost had to go buy a music stand for her note, and the Lord used, she didn't even need her notes. I say that to say this. Whatever you got inside you, the Lord will use it, and he'll store some stuff for you. But when you write it down, and I believe Bishop said it best to her, it's just to show that you're prepared. Even though she only went one page of the four notes that I had to memorize myself, she got off script because she let the Holy Ghost use her and guide her. And I'm thankful for that, because you could not tell that this was her first time speaking in front of a crowd, ministering to some people. And my
grown
biggest
people.
Critic, grown people. And I knew I was afraid to ask my mother, because she would give a blunt, she would give you the truth. And she said it seemed like she's supposed to be there. And that, to me, that's probably the biggest compliment you can get. And, you know, my mother can be ruthless sometimes with honesty. She ain't going to tell you she didn't like it. She didn't like it. She would tell you she didn't like it. But she's like, you were supposed to be there. So I just want to thank you for being obedient. I want to thank Bishop Omar for allowing us the opportunity to be able to do our ministry, to share our ministry, to share our gifts with everybody. And I just want to say, I just thank the Lord for that. And before we get started and we move on and we go to the next phase, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to add a little side note to what you were saying. The pulpit thing, I guess is how I was, you know, taught at an earlier age. You know, that's you don't play around in the pulpit. So, and I know a lot of churches, they don't like females in their pulpit and all of that stuff. Not to say that the bishop, that was his mindset, but I wanted to make sure that it was okay for me to stand in the pulpit. So that's the reason why the music stand and all of that came into play, because I'm like, let me just make sure that, you know, it's okay. I didn't want to be disrespectful to, you know, what the bishop has, you know, does at his church. And you know, you got to be respectful when you go to church, because you just can't do anything in the house of the Lord. So I believe in being respectful. So that's why I'm like, let's make sure it's okay on that part. The other part about my notes, when I tell you I couldn't hardly sleep, I kept going over my notes and just wanted to make sure that I knew where I was going. And I'm like, you know, when you get before God's people, just like I do every Monday, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, not my opinion and what I should be doing. So I wrote my notes down. Everything I wrote down, the Lord gave me all that information. And it's like, okay, I got all this information. I don't know what to do with it. And like my husband said, I did do the first page, and then it's like I just kept going. And when it was over with, I was criticizing myself. I was like, but I didn't say that, and I didn't say this, and I wanted to say it. And it was like, okay, be quiet. The Lord did what he wanted to do, so just keep it moving. So I'm learning to – it's not about me – even though I write everything, I'm a visual person. That's why I have to do visual things. And I write everything down so I can see it on paper. Even though I may not use it, it's there. And it's like – I guess it's my comfort zone. So I thank God for what he did on yesterday. My only prayer is that it made a difference in somebody's life, even if it was the smallest reflection of, hold on, let me check, make sure I'm good in this area, make sure I'm good in that area. That's all that matters to me. And it's not about me. It's about all fingers point to God. So it's all about him at the end of the day. So, all right, I'm done on my
but good. Well, like I said before, it was a blessing. And again, we want to send a shout out, Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop First Lady Zachary, for allowing us the opportunity. I'm sure we'll be back again. And the difference between D&K Bible break here and in the pulpit, it is a little different. Because when we get to the pulpit, we don't play because, you know, that's just a sacred place. And we got to bring the word. Here is a little flexible. And you're going to see that here tonight as we get ready to get started. I'm going to have Kay open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to tell you where we're going tonight. It's going to be exciting, but I'm going to make you think about some things tonight. So, Kay, if you don't mind, can you open us up in prayer?
All right. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time in your presence. I ask that you just be the head of this this union on tonight. We ask that you just let your will be done and let your spirit flow through us, remove us, and all of you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get going.
Amen. Yes, we're about to get going. Couple things I want to share with you, and I want you to think, because we're going to do something a little different tonight. I just got a new office equipment. I have a switchboard. I have these big speakers for when we for when I do my shows and everything, but I broke it. And you're going to say, well, how did you break it? Well, my speakers, I blew my speakers out because I had them turned all the way up, but they was unplugged. So when I plugged them in, the volume was so loud, it just blew the speakers. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. My switchboard got a virus. I went to someone that was sending me an email. I opened the email, and it caused a virus into my switchboard, which my switchboard was, I'm trying to think of the technical word it used. It created a virus in my switchboard where my switchboard doesn't work. It cannot connect. It can come on, but it will not give me any type of readings, and I can't go to places I need to go because a virus was set off in the switchboard. And when my switchboard didn't work, which was connected to my speakers, I just unplugged it. So when I plugged the speakers or turned the speakers on, it was on, the volume was on loud, and it blew my speakers. Thank the Lord I had insurance and warranty on it because it is being fixed. But my question to everyone tonight is, I had an email from a friend of mine that was sending me something, and when I opened the email, it caused the virus in my system. And because my system didn't work, it cut my speakers off. The speakers still worked, but when I got the virus and I plugged them up in a different system, I blew the speakers. All this was caused by email that I opened from someone that I knew. And
man,
my question tonight is, whose email is corrupting your system? A lot of times we talk to people. It could be family members. It could be friends. And I'm going to be a little funny with this tonight because me and my wife are going on a retreat this weekend. We're going on a marriage retreat. I believe it's 9 other couples, and we're going to be staying in the mansion. And yes, it is. We are practicing safe distance with that and
right,
everything, but we're going on a marriage retreat. And I was telling my brothers that I'm going on this marriage retreat now. My brother and I are very close. We laugh and joke about everything. I'm just going to use their comments about this retreat as a virus. Because my brothers was like, well, when you go on this retreat, are you sure you're going with the right people? We don't want you coming back acting different. Now, you can read between the lines of what they're trying to say. Now, they're joking with me and they're playing with me, but in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, you know, I got to be on my P's and Q's. I don't want no funny stuff up here. We don't want to have to act ignorant. And what I'm trying to say to the people of God that's listening to us tonight, you got to be careful of what mail you open up when you're communicating with someone. It could be in the church. It could be in your family. It will cause you to have a virus, and you can't focus on what the Lord is telling you to do or what you're supposed to do because the virus has been planted into your system. And now that the virus has been planted into your system, and I know my brothers meant good by joking with me, But if I allowed it to mess with my head, I would be going to my wife and asking all the wrong. It would be a malfunction in my marriage. And a lot of times people come at us or come at you to leave a virus in your email, and you don't even know it, that they didn't drop it off to you. And when you get it, you can't function. You can't do what you want to do because they didn't drop this virus off. And then you didn't blew your speakers. You didn't lost your cool because someone else delivered bad mail to you. Am I making sense, wife?
Yeah, I follow you.
Okay. So with that being said, what we're going to try to do for the new year is we have to get rid of the junk mail. When I bring the mail in and I hand it to my wife, she'll set two piles. She'll put one pile in one group and another pile in another group. And without even opening the mail, she'll say, "That's junk mail. Throw it away." We don't even have to open it. Now, if there's a credit card in there and I open the mail and it tells me that we have $500 of free credit and I go use that $500 and she had it in the junk mail and I use it and I then created a bill, that's junk mail. That's a virus that didn't crept in to your real life situation. It was supposed to be thrown away. You don't need it. It's not good for you. That's why they call it junk mail, to be put in the trash. A lot of times when you have people in your life, some of them just drop off junk mail or want to put a virus in your system so you can malfunction. And you don't know it, and maybe they don't know it, and sometimes they may do know it, but we have to be careful by the mail we open up. Because it could be something as simple as a letter that could throw you off and make you go places you don't want to go, fight things you don't want to fight because you didn't open up a bad email or you didn't open up junk mail trying to get something for free. So with me saying that, it's very important that when we and before we do anything, we have to be in tune with the spirit. Because when the junk mail come, it will let you know this ain't right. You will not have it won't agree with you. It's something about, I'm just going to throw this away. That's why it's important that you understand what you're opening up. And before you read it, you got to ask yourself the question, is this something that's going to hinder me, help me, or destroy me? And if it's any of the two that I said, then you need to put it in a junk mail and just throw it away. Because we're living in a day and age, we can't, it's bad enough we got to fight the devil just on a general basis. But if you're fighting him and you're giving him ammunition to fight you, that's even make it even rougher. You have anything you want to say?
I'm just going to piggyback on what you said about, you know, the junk mail. So, a lot of times people want to bring us situations, something that they may be going through, dealing with, or they just want to bring something to us to get our opinion, see how we feel, see how we react or whatever. And a lot of the times people are just looking for some place to dump their garbage. And just like that junk mail, I set a pal here and a pal there because if it's not important, I don't need it. So a lot of times if somebody is bringing me some mess, okay, what do you want me to do with this? If it doesn't involve me, I don't really have a need to entertain it. So I believe there is, I don't even have the scripture in front of me, but there's a scripture that tells you about the spirit, like you try the spirit, you know, and I'm not even going to quote it because I might quote it the wrong way, but there is a scripture that's coming to my mind. I don't want to say it the wrong way. But anyway, when people come to you and they try to, you just dump all their garbage on you, you don't have to take that garbage. You can set boundaries. People should know what they can bring to you and what they can't. People should know, okay, if you try to give her this message, she ain't going to go for it. Or well, you can tell her anything. She's going to believe whatever you say, because some people act like it's okay to dump garbage on them. They don't know how to set the boundaries. And everybody's trash is welcome. And then you have other people who, you know, you want to separate that. Don't bring that to me. So you as an individual have to set the boundaries of what mail you receive and what mail you don't receive. Because there is a scripture. Here we go. Proverbs 21 and 23. It says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And a lot of times people bringing you trouble and you don't want to entertain it. You need to hold your tongue. And sometimes it's good to just be quiet, let them do all their ranting and whatever. And then you say, okay, thank you for that. And you just keep it moving. You don't have to entertain the junk that they're trying to bring you. Does that make sense?
Rambling. Yeah, it definitely. No, you're not rambling. You're good. But can you do me a favor real quick? I believe it says in James, First John, I'm sorry, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John 4:1. And what we got to be careful of is, you know, you just got to be careful of people, especially people in the church. And I said something yesterday that the Lord laid on my heart to say, because, you know, people worship many different type of gods, but there's only one true God, one living God. And if you allow yourself to listen to these other people that may be worshiping other type of gods and not the true living God, they will lead you in the wrong way. Even though they come in form of an elder or in form of a pastor, in form of a minister, in form of a member of a church, they're dropping off bad mail. And one thing about bad mail, it's very annoying. And sometimes your bad mail gets slipped up with your regular mail. That's just like the devil works. He wants to slip in where he fits in. And if you feel your mail and feel like you got a new credit card, like I said before, I'm going to get excited and I'm going to go use it. Because, A, my weakness is finance. My wife will tell you, we got some money, I'm going to spend it. It's just that simple. So if I get it and she don't see it, and I'm thinking we good, we got it, and now I done got us in more debt. And now it caused confusion. Confusion comes from the devil. That's why it's very important that we, as especially living in today's world, because everyone on social media has a church. Everyone wants to give advice on social media. Everyone wants to be the top dog. And the thing about it is, you know, you got to be careful, because some people is going to set you up and cause a virus in your system and cause you to malfunction out. So I got to be careful about all the emails I open, because some of them are just not good. And now that I know this for a fact, I just can't have people emailing me stuff, because I can see how it caused me to have a malfunction with my system. All because of one email caused two speakers to go out and my whole switchboard to crash. And I'm not that computer savvy to know how to use all of that. But now I'm learning, and I've learned you can't open up all mail. All mail ain't good mail. And that's whether you're on a computer or whether in your house or spiritual. All spiritual mail ain't good. And that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about on tonight. And not only that, is also because we're living in this, in a day and age where on all social media, you got a lot of stuff going on, is that you got to be careful of who you're listening to. Even people like me and my wife, because the other day, there was this preacher I liked to listen to. He said something about marriage. I let my wife listen to it, and it was offensive to women about if your husband is cheating, the wife already knows about it. You remember that?
A real woman. He said a real woman is going to know
right.
if their husband is cheating. And
right.
It was just the rudeness of how he said it. I'm like, that's rude. It was like he was giving an okay. Like it was, okay, a
right.
man is going to cheat, period. That's what
okay.
he was pretty much saying. Yeah, and it was okay.
Yeah.
And you can't be up in the pulpit talking like that. That's not okay.
And he, right, but it was on, and he is a mega preacher that was saying it, and it shocked me because I'm listening to him, and if I didn't have no sense, and if I didn't study the word, I'd be trying to get over on my wife with this. Look, this is what we do. But there's some people that believe that, you know. But I'm just saying, how many people think that, believe that, and live that all because they let that get into their spirit?
Okay, you know, let me just go here. Romans 16 and 17, this Paul is writing this. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. False teaching. I'm going to read my Bible, you're going to read your Bible, and we ain't going to be listening to this falseness. Now, if I'm just listening to the preacher preach and I'm not going and study for myself, then yes, I'm going to take every word that he says as scripture and as Bible and as a firm foundation. That's why it's important to make sure that you go and study and get the word for yourself as well, not just listen to them to some people just, you know, talking. Because, you know, they put their own little twist in it and their own little vibe in it. And it's like, no, the Bible does not say anything in reference to a real woman going to know if her husband is cheating. Seriously? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no. And I know we know there's other people, if I would have heard that and not been in that study for myself, what I'm saying is I could use that, and I know a lot of men that do that, that's in the church, that feels like, you know, hey, it is what it is, and boom. Or they make it seem like it's the woman's fault because of whatever the issue may be, because we all got issues. But when you make a commitment to get married, you make a commitment not to that woman, but you make a commitment to the Lord. And you're not really cheating on the woman, you're really cheating on the Lord. So when he said what he said, I was so shocked. I had to make sure that I heard it right and let my wife listen to it. And as she got offended by it, I knew that, okay, not that I agreed with it, but it was just like I was hearing what I was hearing. How many men or women have not heard that don't study? And all they do is go to church. Just to be going to church because it's a religious practice. Everyone, and I'm learning this more and more every day, go to church not to get the word of God. They're just there for whatever reason they're there for. And it's very important that we understand when we do go to church, we have to go with a willing spirit to receive the word, not going to be entertained, not going to hear good music, or good preaching and not hear the word of God. Because you can have a good preacher that can preach good every Sunday, but if he's not preaching the word of God, he's just a good preacher. There's a difference. I could preach about McDonald's. I could preach about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it all sounds good. But if you're not preaching the word of God and it sounds good, then there's a difference. And I'm going to try to break it down. I know I'm going to repeat myself. I'm just going to use different words just for the women because, you know, my wife is she's a clean freak. She can tell you how to clean it. She can show you how to do it. She can do it with it so good. But that's my point. So when they don't, even though you can do it, people will listen to it and not abide by it. They just want to be in the comforts of cable, food, and the prestige of the house, but they don't want to do the prestige of keeping it clean. And when you have saints of God coming, well, supposed to be saints of God coming to church, they're not serving the same God we're serving. And it hit me yesterday when we was talking about being saved. Some people are saved, but they're not living holy. They say they saved, but they're doing breaking all the rules that will send you to hell, but they're saying they're saved. Because the God that saved them isn't the same God that died for them. Now, that's a little deep for some of y'all, and I'm not, you know, from preaching yesterday, I'm a little tired, but I'm just going to say it again. When you got saved, if you got saved by the Lord, by the living God, and not just by a God, there's a difference. Because if you're saved by the living God, there's going to be some change. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, because none of us is perfect. I'm not saying you're not going to have no struggles, because we all struggle. But at the same time, you're not going to be living a hellish life. I'm saved, but you're shacking up. I'm saved, but you're getting drunk. I'm saved, but you putting the needle in your arm. I'm saved, but you sleeping around with all these different women. I'm saved, and you're going around stealing from people. And then the church okays it by saying, okay, long as they say, they can do whatever they want to do. They can be saved and be homosexual. We're not going to touch it. We just got to love them. And yeah, we got to love everybody because the Bible commands us to love them, but we don't have to go with what they do. And if telling the truth is telling them that you're living a life that's going to lead you to hell, not because Derek said it or Kay said it, because the Bible says it, then that's our job. That's preaching the gospel, telling people if you don't get saved by the living God, then you're going to bust hell wide open. And what I've noticed when I talk to different people, they say they're saved, but they do everything under the sun. I know some gay people that say they're saved, and they think they're going to heaven, and they married two men, two women, however you want to put it, and they think it's okay. And the leader of their church thinks that it's okay. Well, they're not serving the same God I'm serving, because it's totally different.
You know, a lot of people, I'm going to just say they're back row Christians, if I can use that. That, you know, they're in the church, but they're going to sit so far back. And if you can just not just visualize them sitting in church, when I say this, I'm just speaking in regards to their distance from Christ. They keep God at an arm's length. So I'm here, I'm present, but I'm not going to fully surrender like all y'all church people do. I'm not doing all of that. It don't take all that. God loves everybody. He knows my heart, and he's going to love me just the way I am. That's the bottom line. And a lot of people are preaching that, you know, like I said yesterday, universalism, everybody's going to heaven. So that gives the impression it doesn't matter how you live your life, as long as you love God, and you have good morals, and you treat everybody nice, and as long as you do all this stuff that I don't see in the Bible, but as long as you do all this stuff that somebody decided were the rules, then you'll be okay. But and you can live however you want to, because God loves you. Come as you are. And they took come as you are as just come and once you ask God into your life, you ask Jesus to save you, just as long as you said it, it's okay. You don't have to do anything after that, just as long as you say it. And that's it. It stops at confessing, I want the Lord to live in my heart, and I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. It stops right there. Like you said yesterday, it's lip service. We're done at that point. At that point, now we're all going to heaven, and we ain't got to do no more.
Right, that's right. And I just want to refer to the – I want to share a story. And I think the scripture I was trying to read is 1 John 4:1. That was the scripture. And then on top of that, I'm going to share a story with you. I heard my dad say this, and then I heard it again over the internet. And it's this story about this lady who entered a contest, and she won 3 years in a row. Going on the fourth year, they would give them a song. They would have to sing the song, and whoever sung it the best would be the winner. And she went, the song that they were supposed to sing for the fourth year was a spiritual song, and it was called She Sung Amazing Grace. And she sung it so well that no one wanted to go after her. And so since no one wanted to go after her, she won 3 years in a row. She sung it, got a standing ovation. And so since they opened it up for anyone that wanted to come sing after her, no one did. But then her music teacher wanted to try to sing, the one that taught her. And she got up there, and she did an amazing job singing it. And she even did better than what her student did. She did better, everyone stand up, clapping for her. And then they said, if anybody else want to come up and sing the song. And another, the janitor wanted to go and try to sing the song. And when he got done singing the song, everybody was crying, and everyone was just through. And it was amazed that the janitor outsung the lady that won it 3 years in a row. And the music teacher who taught her how to sing, he outsung her. And someone from the newspaper said, well, we didn't know you could sing. How did you do that? And he said, they just sung the song, but I know the person that I was singing about. And there's a difference. When you know what you're talking about, you know who you're serving, there's a different talk, there's a different language. Everyone can talk about the Bible and quote scriptures, but do you know who you're talking about? Do you know Jesus? And more importantly, do he know you? Because there's a lot of entertainers that can sing and make a song real good, but if you don't know him, it doesn't become personal. So when you get a letter in the mail, and I know sometimes my wife would get a letter in the mail from her friend, she gets excited even before she opened the mail because she knows it's from her friend. She knows she's about to get some good news or good information, or you get that personalized Christmas card or birthday card, and you know you're going to have some money in it. It becomes, even before you open it, you already know that it's good news. And then sometimes, you know, we get a letter in the mail, and my wife, she do it every month when we get the electric bill. She open it up. She could have a smile on her face before she opened it, and then she'll start fussing around the house, turn these lights off, and just because the mail then dictated what you're doing. So it's important that when you're living for Christ and you get mail, whether it's the word of God, because all mail ain't good mail, it's how you receive it. And thank the Lord we're able to pay the bill. And I'm wondering why you're fussing. Is it paid? Because when I look at the bills, it always has a zero balance. So I don't know what she's fussing about. But I understand it, and I get it. But when you allow mail to you know, we just got to be careful as Christians when we're walking this walk and talking this talk, who we allow to influence us and who can give us a bad virus. Now, I said in the beginning about my brothers, we joke and play. And that I said that in fun. I wanted to use them as an example, because when we joke and play, a lot of times it can affect me. When my wife went jumping out of the airplane, I was going to go with her. The reason I didn't go with her, I allowed my brother, who was a Marine and jumped out of planes before, he said, well, if you got a weak stomach, your whole internet, you're going to go to the bathroom on yourself when you make the jump. I never heard of that, but because he was an expert and done it before, I allowed that to mess with my head, so I didn't jump because of that. I said, that would be embarrassing if I land and I didn't went to the bathroom. Well, it's an embarrassing moment. So when she jumped out, she went by herself because of the conversation I had with my brother. Now, we do that in fun, but in real life, sometimes people will come to you and give you information, and because of the information they give you, will cause your body or your brain or your spiritual self, instead of grow, it would cause you to stop doing what the Lord would call you to do. So what I'm trying to say tonight, and we're not going to be on too long, much longer tonight, is be careful who you keep in your company, and be careful whose mail you open up, because if it causes you to do some stuff that God don't want you doing, and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So some of them letters that he's dropping off in people's spirit is causing us a setback, and that's why we can't grow. It's because we have a malfunction in the spirit. Someone then put what they call a cold or a virus in the system. And a lot of times when my wife goes to work, her computer system goes down, and it causes her not to be able to work because her system is down. And when her system is down, the people on her job, they can't see her working. So she has to hurry up and call and say, my system is down. That's why I'm not online. And that's very true in the kingdom of God. Sometimes someone can put a virus in and can take you away from the Lord, and you don't even know it. So it's important that you keep your systems clear. You can't open up everybody's mail. Even me, as long as I've been saved, I can't open up everybody's mail because I'm not an expert. Then you got to troubleshoot it and see what's wrong with it and figure out the damage that's been caused because you didn't open up the mail. I just got my equipment. I have to send it right back out to get fixed because I allow an email to affect my whole system. And it's not connected right now to my system because I got a virus. And that sounds so much like church folks to me today. We allow people to talk to us.
It's important.
Say that again.
It's important that you ask the Lord to help you discern
right.
where people are coming from, because people
right.
will come with all kind of mess, emotionally, spiritually, just all unhealthy kind of things people will come at you. So, you know, there's a number of things that I do not to get sucked in. Not to say that I haven't gotten sucked into some mess, but usually what I do is I like to – like mentally separate myself from the situation. I'll change, like if I can, okay, if you're talking crazy on the phone, okay, I'm going to talk to you later. I got to go. In my house, if somebody started talking off the wall, okay, I know how to come and I know how to put my my earbuds in and zone out and turn my music on and change the atmosphere, disconnect from people mentally. So it's important to find a way to delete, get rid of all of that stuff that people are trying to dump on you. Because if you don't, it will take root and it will start showing up somewhere. So you gotta empty the trash. And more importantly, try not to let people dump their trash on you.
Well,
there's a lot
I'm looking forward to.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's you know, that's easier said than done. It's just like I said before.
You can hang up the phone, and if somebody's in your space, you can walk away. You don't have to stand there. You don't have to take it.
Okay. Now, when you say that, this is what people this is what people wanted yesterday. They wanted to hear me go at it with you, so I'm going to go at it with you now. For men, it's hard to put some earbuds in and just listen to some music. And you know me personally, and I've grown. But me, I like to do what?
I said you can take a ride, go take a walk, just distance yourself from the situation.
Okay, I do that from time to time. But as men, and maybe the Lord is dealing with me because as a man, we like to deal with things like men. And going for a ride or listening to some music, that's one thing. But I like to confront what's coming at me that's not right. And I know I can't do it all the time because I'm not strong enough to do it the way the Lord. See, sometimes I want to do the Lord's job for him. And that's the part of growth where the Lord is dealing with me. So I don't want to come on here every Monday night like I got all the answers or I'm the perfect person. The last time I felt like this or I felt that type of way, you know what the situation was, and it was the last time Lady Zachary preached about the thorn in the side, and because I was ready to go and confront someone about some issues, I was ready. I had watched my shows I needed to watch to get my words right that I wanted to say, and wasn't none of them coming from the Bible, and I was so ready. I woke up eager, waiting for church to get over with to do what I wanted to do. And the reason I know Lady Zachary preached it, because I remember she talking about the thorn in your side. I'm like, yeah, we're going to get that thorn out today. And as she got through preaching, I'm like, and I told you when we got in the car, I guess that was for me. I can't go do what I wanted to do. I just got to allow the Lord to deal with the situation. And when you find yourself in those situations, it's always good to be hooked up with a church that when you go to church, you're going to hear the word because the word is going to deal with what you're going through right then and there. At least for me, over the last year, I'm still dealing with stuff. And I think I told the bishop tonight, I'm still dealing with the lesson he taught way back, I believe it was in March. I still got the note. I can't trust myself. And when I say that, and we're talking about junk mail, if we got a credit card in the mail and I got it, I can't trust myself. Publicly, I look good, and publicly it seemed like we got it going on, but that's a weakness for me. I can't trust myself. And yeah, I'm an elder in the church. Yeah, I know scriptures. I know what it says. But at the same token, I haven't arrived yet. So I'm working on certain things. That's why when you go to church, I don't go to church for a show. I got to get the word of God, and I got to take it and apply it where it needs to be applied to. I have to take certain things that is being said. So when I got that thing in that thorn, I know how to deal with it. I know how to operate with it because every day ain't going to be a good day. And we are going to get some bad mail that we got to know how to deal with. And all mail ain't a virus. Some things you just got to deal with. Some bills you just got to pay. It's some viruses that you entertain and you open up that you shouldn't open up. And like instead of me talking to the bishop, I go talk to Brother JoJo, who don't know nothing. And I'm getting my spiritual advice from Brother JoJo, who don't know or ain't got no common sense. Instead of letting the spiritual leader lead and guide me, I open that mail. And then a year later, I'm in a whole world of trouble because I listen to somebody else instead of listening to the people who I got around me. That's how we get in trouble. And if I would have listened to my brother, I would have jumped out the airplane the first time my wife jumped out. But I ain't doing it now. But the reason I didn't the first time is because of what my brother told me. He said, you better be careful because you're going to mess all out. And he said, I used to jump out and people used to. And he had me so terrified. And then he laughed at me. And now the joke is, how you let your wife jump and you didn't go with her? Well, what'd you tell me? And he act like he ain't said nothing.
Because you let him get in your head.
Exactly. That's the whole point I'm trying to say. Exactly.
It's laid on you.
And because I know he's listening tonight, I'm just telling, right. And like he said when we go on this marriage retreat, he said, you know, I'm going to say this and we're going to be done. He said, you know, I ain't got no gay brothers. But when you come back, I hope you ain't walking different. I said, what you mean? He said, you going up there and stand well.
I
can see if it was just you and your wife.
Hold on. I think the key word that you missed, tell your brothers, that this is a Christian marriage retreat. Everybody going on this retreat is saved. This ain't no funny business. This ain't no common. No. So that's the part you missed. You forgot that part. Tell him that.
No, we didn't forget that part. He knows that. But what I'm saying is
right.
He know that. And we joke around like that, so I don't want people to be sending me no emails about anything like that. But if I allow that to get in my head on a serious note, I could be missing out. Or it could cause problems. That's why I said you got to be careful about the mirror you open and the people you talk to. Exactly.
If somebody bumping into you on accident, I don't want you looking at me like, did you see that? Okay, it's not that kind of party. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I didn't think it was, but I just wanted the people to understand, you know, you got to be careful who you listen to. And I just, because my brothers, they joke like that. We have that type of relationship. It's never nothing serious with them. But when it comes to a spiritual side and you're going to church, this is why you got to be careful, because you don't know who's going to say something and how things is going to be effective. With my brothers, we can joke and play. When it comes to something spiritual or something, you know,
right.
You may not know, I don't know. It, like if I, and I don't want to, you know, if I go to church and I talk to my bishop and he telling me, you better be careful because now I'm getting this wrong. And see, I don't want to put that out there like that because I know that wouldn't happen. But we got to be careful who we talk to. And we got to, when we do go to church, we have to make sure we're going for the right reason and that we're going to get the word and the word only. And we're not going for the show, because if you're there for the show, I'm not saying that you're there for the show because I don't know your heart. But from what I'm seeing from a lot of different people in conversations, we're just going to church just to be entertained. And if that's the case, then you're not getting the word. And if you're not getting the word, you're subject to believe anything anyone to say that has a word. Because the word of God is different than the word of man. And sometimes we get the word of man because we think he's in a church, we think he's the man of God, and do you think he's a man of God, he's giving you a word from God. It don't work like that. When you go to church, you're going to receive the word from God, not from a man.
And a lot of the times there's this manufactured love for Christ. So it's manufactured instead of having a love and a personal experience with Christ, it's manufactured. So we got to learn how to draw unto Christ and get to know him personally for ourselves and don't have this manufactured at a distance love. We got to be more authentic, more transparent. It's not like he don't know who you are. It's not like we can hide anything from him. So just because you being fake in the church and then you can put up a front around sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, aren't you tired of playing games like that? It seems like it just takes so much energy and so much thought and so much time. And who has time to be doing all that? Be real. Get to know the Lord for yourself. Be authentic. Stop manufacturing this fakeness because it's not going to get you anywhere. I don't want the fake mail. Don't give me the spam or the junk. I don't want it.
Right. Don't want it. Don't need it. Throw it away. And like I said before, next Monday, this weekend, we're going to go on the marriage retreat. And like I said before, I'm looking forward to being restored and to learn a lot and to be able to bring it back to my home church and be able to share and be able to help people, because it's hard in this coronavirus academic to communicate. And I know if it's hard for me and my wife, I know we make it look easy, but it's hard. You don't know the struggles in the late night conversations. And I'm not going to call them arguments,
right,
but discussions. Discussions that we have. What are you saying?
I said you want to talk when I'm tired. Don't work too well.
Well, yeah. No, it don't work too well. It really don't. But we are following Christ. You know,
Amen.
We know how to. We're learning. It don't work every day, but most days we can go to our neutral corners and come back and still have the conversation in love. I'm not gonna say I agree with her all the time. She agree with me all the time, but at least we can agree to let the Lord work it out. And I'm getting better. You know, I'm not getting on her nerves a lot.
Praise
God. I'm gonna tell you guys a little trick, and telling you this will work, and then we're gonna close out. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, and you know, I should have told y'all back in November, but after Valentine's Day, you know, go to Kroger's or Publix and buy you 12 roses. Tell the lady at the florist counter, I'm going to pay. See, you get them now, you're going to be paying an arm and a leg because they're just expensive. You're going to be paying like $69, $70, $75 for 12 roses. That's unheard of. I don't care if you got it to spend, but that's just unheard of. But if you go like in March or April and you buy 12 red roses and you use them when you need them throughout the year, tell the lady at the florist, I'm going to buy them, but I'm going to use them two and three at a time. And when you use them two or three at a time, when Valentine's Day comes, you don't even need to go buy no roses because you didn't bought all year round. And she ain't going to want no roses unless she's a rosy type person. You know, my wife, she don't really care for flowers. So she gets two here and two there. Come February, she don't want no roses. They ain't going to die anyway. And she ain't going to want them. Put them in a vase and they got to keep. It's too much work for her. She got too much work doing around the house to be keeping up some roses. But if you buy 12 of them, don't do it now because you're going to pay $75 for 12. You wait $19.99 in April, and you just two, three at a time before.
Well,
you
let me
mess
just
up,
say this. Hold on. You can't be telling them that yet, though, because they're gonna have to wait till next year to do that. Because Valentine's Day is on Sunday, and it's already too late to start the process. So you better make sure you if y'all celebrate Valentine's Day, because we don't really celebrate it in this house. But if y'all celebrate it, don't do what he's saying do right now. Wait till after this holiday and then start the process. And make sure you have something for your wife and your husband on Valentine's Day,
right,
if that's what you do.
Right.
If that's what
I'm
you
just
do.
Letting you know. If you would listen to me last year this time, you wouldn't have been going through this, having to save $75 to buy some red flowers and the red heart and the balloon. You just do it all year round. And, you know, I'm going to say this and get in trouble when I say this by the lady. Because, you know, most women, if you serenade them all year round, they don't really care about Valentine's Day. Now, if you ain't done your job all year round, then you better go spend the $75 and make your reservations to the crab. What's it called? The crab? What's it called? Crab? What's that crab place called? Angel go to? What's it
juicy
called?
Juicy Crab. She might be like Juicy Crab.
Juicy Crab. Yeah, Juicy Crab. You better make your reservation for Juicy Crab. Now, I'm just trying to help you fellas out. But if you want some romantic tips, hit me up. I got you. And it won't cost you that much. It just won't cost you. But y'all got to pay y'all $75 for y'all roses.
Right.
Yes.
I'm cute.
Yes, it's awesome. Yes. Yeah, so I'm blessed to know that I can get away with certain stuff like that. Because you do all year, Valentine's Day, just another day, because I'm going to be somewhere watching a basketball game when I get home. And I'm not going to be out here trying to wine and dine her on Valentine's Day, because that's what we supposed to do. And this is the thing, and I'm going to say this when we're gone. It's 8 o'clock. I'll save it for next Monday. We'll talk about relationships and how to do things next week. I'm done for tonight. Can you dismiss us? I would appreciate if you dismiss us.
All right. Well, Father God, thank you for tonight. Pray that something was said that was edifying to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for allowing us to have a blessed week. Thank you for keeping us in our right mind, clothing our right bodies, making sure that we have the activities of our limbs. Lord, we pray that you just touch the people that are going through right now. Everything ain't fun and games, and we do realize that there are people that are in situations that they need your help. And we ask that you just touch them right now. Send someone to a phone call, a message, just to let them know that you care and that you are there and that you'll never leave them nor forsake them, no matter what they're going through. Lord, we ask that you touch the people that are in the hospitals right now, those family members that are going through right now, people that lost their job, people that's just trying to make it, Lord. I pray that you just comfort their hearts in the name of Jesus. Let your will continue to be done, and let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for being our strength and our redeemer. Happy Monday. Y'all have a great week. Until we
Before you
see
go,
y'all again.
I know. I forgot. Yes. I forgot. You know I got to have the last word. I'm so sorry. Again, we want to thank everyone for joining us. Yeah, I know. I just couldn't do it. I'm over 8. I'm sorry. But do not forget our weekly schedule and coming shows. Tomorrow night is at 7 p.m., same phone number, 845-277-9094, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. It will be a great Bible study, and I'm telling you, please join us for Bible study, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also, Thursday night, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries live, 7 p.m. every Thursday night at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, same phone number. And if you want to watch them on Facebook Live, you can go to Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle Church, and catch Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries Thursday night at 7 p.m. Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you can catch Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop and First Lady Zachary, Sunday morning praise and worship service at 9 a.m. That's every Sunday, 9 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and also same phone number. And I'm still working on the audio. I know some of you saying when the singing is kind of distorted. We're working on that issue right now. Also, I forgot to mention that I want to spend a special shout out to J&C Creative video crew team that comes in and records some videos for us. They were there Sunday. They will be at Praise Tabernacle Church on Sunday for the next couple weeks, because we're going to try to put some live professional videos out here on social media and also on certain cable stations. We're still working on that, but it will be coming out real soon. Again, Tuesday night Bible study, Praise Tabernacle, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Bible study team, deacons, elders, and evangelists will be there. Also on Thursday night, 7 p.m., Omar Zachary Family Ministries live at 7 p.m. for praise and worship. and get a good word in on Thursday night and then Sunday morning. Also, on Wednesday night, we have Elder Bazaar, Watchmen on the Wall. Friday night, we have the Overseer, Timothy Jackson, Freestyle Friday. And then Saturday, Overseer Timothy Jackson's Spiritual Sense of Life. So we're on every day, all day. And when I do my little chaos talk every now and then throughout the week, which you guys will get an email when I do come on. So we are on 7 days a week. So don't forget us tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle, 7 p.m. for Bible study. And with that being said, have a blessed night, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a blessed one.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.